Fractured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Probably nothing to really talk about.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Ooh, I don't know how we're going to fill the time here on Mailbag Day, because I'm sure nobody had any comments about my political prognostications during the course of the week, because I'm sure everybody agreed completely with everything that I observed about the political realm. Idea at wretched.org. Got to tell you, though, I have to tell you, even as people disagree and send me their thoughts, it has been so consistently godly. I know these issues are contentious and hot. I get that. But people, when they've been communicating to me about their disagreements, it has just been a delightful demonstration of Christian maturity. And I think a recognition that we Christians can have a difference of opinion on these subjects, because sometimes they're not all that theological. And so I've just seen grace oozing out of the correspondences that I've had with people that I don't see on other platforms, because wow, does it ever get snarky out there. Please feel free to share questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, idea at wretched.org, or text away to 877-282-2337.
So I do have a comment from Anonymous, who says, hey, Todd, Benny Hinn should go to the Republican National Convention and heal Trump's ear. What a sight that'd be.
Yeah, it sure would. But that the convention would have to be extended by 3 hours so that they can play music for a really long time and then get people into the mindset of expecting miracles so that he can come and maybe wave his white coat and pretend to heal. They don't do healings like that, have you noticed?
Oh.
They've never had a Malchus-like situation. This is close. Now, this would be close to Malchus. That the ear would be made whole by Benny Hinn. Not going to happen, because that's not what they perform, because that's visible. The miracles of Jesus, they were organic, they were instantaneous, and they were complete. You saw it. People knew the man was blind for 37 years. They knew the guy couldn't walk, for he lived among them. Now he walks, now he sees, now he hears. The demons are gone. They could see it with their eyes. These claims that come out of these healing ministries are, well, I kind of had a twinge. I had a twinge over here, and Benny prayed over me, and the twinge is gone inside of my left abdomen region here. Those aren't healings. Jesus did healings. Those are signs and wonders. And I would put out the challenge again. It's always been rejected by those that I know that are in the healing movement. Show it. Let's do a Mount Carmel sort of affair. Get your best healers together, and we'll bring some organically sick people who believe in Jesus, so that we don't have the supposed faith obstacle. Remember, Jesus healed people who had faith and people who didn't have faith. And these prosperity preachers, these word faith preachers, would say the reason you're not getting healed is because you don't have faith. And that's not the way we see Jesus doing it. He healed people without faith. Let's assemble people with faith, with the best healers on. That would be Benny Hinn. Todd White could all be assembled. Have at it, gentlemen. You can even bring your band. Go. You can bring the choir, and you can play the music, the mood-altering music, for 2 hours, and then give it a go, and we'll wait. will eventually taunt you because that too is biblical. Elijah did it. We can do it too. And let's see what you got. And I don't think you're ever going to have one of them take you up on that offer. Benny, he knows Paula White. Paula White knows Donald Trump. Benny should have called up and said, hey, let me come visit the president. I'll heal him. Or better yet, I can do it from here. But you don't see that. Why? Because they can't do that. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, so this is a text from Jesse from Pennsylvania. Todd, I was born and raised Amish with six children ages 19 to 4. I don't believe the Amish way, and I don't believe they meet the New Testament definition of church. I think it's a cult. My wife thinks my conversion is willful purchase of a ticket to hell. Do I allow my wife to continue teaching our children the Amish way for unity and marriage, or do I teach them something different? Currently, I'm still attending the Amish church because going elsewhere means my family will likely kick me out.
Yeah, that's right.
But if the Amish aren't a true church, am I not going to church at all?
Oh, boy. First of all, we need to understand there is not an Amish church. There are Amish churches. I've been to one that I think may have been within Orthodoxy. That wasn't work-based. That was grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. But it's different. It depends. It depends on what little quadrant you're in and who's running it this year. The doctrines can be all over the place. So what should you do if you're Amish and you're in that and your family is in that? Without knowing the particular pressures that you're feeling, I think we start with dad's responsibility. It is to train up children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And if you're in a dynamic that prohibits that, then you'd have to get your kids out of that. I know, that's tough. But if we're going to be obedient in training up our children in the way that they should go, and we are surrounded by people who have access to our children that are undermining that, oof, I think you've got to figure. Now, would I say just pack up and get out tomorrow? Absolutely not. I think you need wisdom in this situation, which is why I think ultimately what I would suggest are a few things. One, remember your responsibility as a dad. Two, I would encourage you, why don't you talk to the pastor of the church that you're in? What do they believe about grace alone, faith alone? Is there heresy that is being taught? Could you talk to them about not teaching that to your kids? Could you explain to them, look, I'm staying here because of my wife and children. My beliefs have changed. And you could put the ball in their court. They might have a problem. They might not. But the third encouragement I would have for you is this. Go find a Bible teaching church that is near you and go talk to the pastor. And ask him if he would counsel you through this. Why? Because this is multifaceted. This is going to require a biblical strategy, a ton of biblical wisdom. And you need somebody helping you. And for me to give you advice from afar would be exceedingly foolish. You should be wise and you need a counselor. I would encourage you to find a good Bible teaching church. Call up the pastor if you have a telephone and ask him. Well, he must have a phone. Sent us stuff.
Yeah.
How does that work? Exactly. And just reach out to him and say, could you please help me? And if he can't do that, then keep reaching out to Bible-based churches to say, I'm in a situation here. Can you counsel me through this? Because you need more than a quick response from me. Idea. Would you add anything else to that, Jimmy?
No, it's... That's a
big ball so of twine many, right there.
So many layers there.
And you need to know, by the way, that maybe not that exact scenario, but that is the type of scenario that your pastor is dealing with on the regs. Because that's what the kids say, and we want to be current, hip, and contemporary, which is why you can text 877-282-2337.
And this is from Nate. Todd, could I please get your thoughts on tattoos? I know there's a prohibition against them in Leviticus, but it seems to have been for the Jews at the time.
Okay, you want my opinion about tattoos, or do you want what the Bible says about tattoos? Because, look, nothing personal if you got one. It's never been my cup of tea. And when I grew up, and this is important, tattoos meant one thing, rebel. That's what they meant. You are doing something that is outside of societal norms to demonstrate you can take a walk on the wild side. Now, I grant you that that isn't how some generations view tattoos anymore. But that does play a part in determining whether or not you should get a tattoo or not because of your Christian testimony. What do people think? If I get this tattoo and people see it, what are they going to think about my Savior Jesus Christ? You have to ask and answer that question. Do I believe the Bible gives you liberty to do so? I do. I don't think that the Levitical prohibition is about body art. I think the Levitical prohibition, it is indeed body marking, but it is accompanied by demonic practices and idol worship. And that's not what tattoos are. So do I believe that it is a liberty issue? Yes, I do. I think the strongest consideration that you should have, though, as you consider it, this is true of all liberty issues. Testimony, testimony, testimony. What will my decision say to the world? And that should drive your decision. This is Wretched Radio. I know now many wretched people are familiar with the Masters Academy International because you participated in our Bible distribution program to the Philippines. 10,000 John MacArthur Study Bibles were sent courtesy of you. How sweet is that? Heaven is just going to rock. You're going to be sitting at a table. What's your name? It'll be somebody with a Filipino name. Oh, Philippines. You know what? I remember a long time ago, there was a Bible campaign through wretched.org/Bible where we sent MacArthur Study Bibles to the Philippines. You gave to that? I received a MacArthur Study Bible in the Philippines. No way! So if you're at the internet and you visit wretched.org/pastor, you're going to discover Masters Academy International trains pastors internationally in 19 different locations. Thousands of men, as we speak, are being trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to strengthen Christ Church internationally? Please visit wretched.org/pastor.
All right, Christian, are you, like most of us, concerned about the direction our culture is headed? Yeah, well, listen up, because we are about to launch a brand new initiative within this ministry. We're bringing together 8 brilliant Christian thinkers to create content that tackles today's toughest issues head on. Think of it like a Christian version of the Daily Wire. These experts will be producing articles, podcasts, videos, and even homeschool curriculum. They'll cover everything from ethics and evangelism to science and Gen Z issues. It's all about equipping you to navigate our complex and ever-changing brave new world with biblical wisdom. But here's the thing. We need your support in order to make this happen. We're currently in the middle of a match campaign, a $250,000 match campaign, where every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. If you want to learn more about this initiative and the incredible minds behind it, just visit wretched.org/fellows right now. That's wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe, and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Gotta tell you, still thinking about that Amish fellow. This is Wretched Radio, encouraging you to send stuff, whatever it is that's wretched, to idea at wretched.org. You can text 877-282-2337. Not sure how an Amish man was able to text us, but he was, and he did, and he's born again, and he's in the Amish community. What should he do? This is not a simple subject, and my heart's heavy for the guy. This is because there's a potential. I'm not suggesting you do or don't do something, but these are the types of dynamics that Jesus said they're going to happen, where families are going to split over him. That's not, if you will, his preference. He doesn't want families breaking up. He loves family. It's his institution. But he did indeed let us know you can expect this because the world hates him. They can't get their mitts on him, so they're going to hate us. And there's going to be people inside of your own family that hate you because of Jesus. And I believe increasingly we need to let people know about these warnings from Jesus before you ask them to make some sort of profession of faith. I'd even go this far, and I'll explain myself. But before you let somebody be baptized, I think asking them the questions, have you counted the cost? Salvation is free, but following Jesus ain't cheap. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your fleshly desires. You mortify the flesh. You're going to have to make different decisions. You might have to change your lifestyle. You might find yourself not being in the popular club anymore. You might have friends that leave you. You might have family that hates you. Are you ready to pick up your cross and follow after Jesus Christ? And the reason I think increasingly it's so important that we front load that information is because Jesus did. Read through any of the Gospels. We happen to be working through verse by verse the Gospel of Matthew at Alpharetta Bible Church. But Jesus is never shy about saying, you got to understand, let the dead bury their own dead. I am calling you to live entirely differently, and there's going to be a cost. You sure you're ready to pay it? Rich young ruler, are you sure that you understand what you are getting into? Because how many times have we seen people that are maybe one of the four soils, but not the fourth one, that persecute? That's the third soil. Persecution comes along and they're out of there. I wonder, did they not know that persecution was going to come? Honestly, it would be better. I don't know if this is going to strike you as crazy or not. It would be better if you're talking to somebody who wants to get baptized and asking questions like, are you prepared for your family to hate you? Are you prepared, possibly, for your spouse to walk out on you, for your kids to ghost you? Do you understand that God now has control of your money? Do you understand that your eyeballs are now under the authority of King Jesus Christ, and that any images that you might be setting your eyes on needs to stop? Do you understand that? Really? I just thought, you know, you believe in Jesus and you go to heaven. It's better to know that before baptizing them. How many Stony Ground hearers have been baptized? They're led into the church, and it causes all kinds of dysfunction and disharmony. I think even with our kids, we got to let them know. Do you realize your sexual desires, they are under the authority of your Savior? And you don't get to do whatever it is. Do you understand that? That is not adding works to salvation. That is simply explaining there is a cost. And for this Amish fellow, I don't know, but this might be one of those situations because you have to first and foremost be faithful to Jesus. Be praying for that man. And if you've got any suggestions, 877-282-2337.
All right, this one's from David. Todd, would you say someone who is a devout Catholic would be considered a Christian? Are they saved?
You use the word devout.
Right.
So devout to me means they understand, they affirm, they adhere to the dogmas of the Catholic Church. If somebody is doing that, my answer to that question would be no. They are not born again because That is an unorthodox system. It is a works-based system. There are many distinctions between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism, but this is the biggie: justification, a work-based system. And if you're a dogmatic Roman Catholic, adhering to, yep, it's just infused righteousness, not imputed. I've got to maintain my righteousness. I must do these things in order to be saved. You're guilty of the Galatian heresy. So can a devout Roman Catholic be saved? No. And that's not a, if that answer like is, wow, what kind of crackpot Protestants are these? They're mean and terrible. That's how it's always been understood. And just so you know, that's how they feel about us. It is, they have codified it in the Council of Trent, which has stood for 500 years. We're coming up on the 500th anniversary of the Council of Trent, which deemed Protestants that adhere to grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone as being anathema. Multiple times, there's no debating the subject. That is how the Roman Catholic Church feels about grace alone Protestants, which is kind of redundant. So this isn't like, oh, that's pretty mean. No. That's having biblical distinctions about orthodoxy and what is a works-based system and a faith-based system, a grace-alone system. Can somebody get saved in the Catholic Church? Yeah, absolutely. Here's one for you to consider. Would it be possible for an individual who is not a dogmatic Catholic to get saved in the Catholic Church and stay in the Catholic Church? I think increasingly they're going to struggle with that. But can I imagine somebody who's maybe not into the theological issues that you and I delight in? Could they be there for a bit? Yeah, I think that could happen. But if they become familiar with the dogma of the Roman Catholic Church, I don't think that a born-again Christian can stay in that system. Which is why, if you have some Roman Catholic loved ones, evangelize them. Use the law, the necessity of the law. I'm actually working on the parable of the four soils right now, Matthew chapter 13. And I'm reading, I don't read a ton of commentaries. I don't listen to anybody else's sermons. That's just, you can if you choose to, Pastor. I just choose not to. But the few commentaries that I read, like a J.C. Ryle, I like to read. I'll go back and read any of the old Protestant commentaries, now, just to understand sometimes different components of the text. And it's interesting that it was just like they poop, popped. I was, okay, it was the Kretzmann commentary from like the 1920s. And it's interesting, this goes back to the 1920s, and talking about the parable of the four soils, it is just tossed it out like, well, of course. And it is obvious that these people weren't converts because their stony ground had never been tilled up by the use of the law. Ray Comfort did not discover the use of the law in evangelism. It's always been there and understood. Ray is just the one who got a hold of it, and I'm grateful for it because he's helped us to understand the distinction between the law and gospel and the use of the law, unlike anybody in contemporary evangelical history. He found basically what had been lost, but it was always there. And it was assumed before giving the gospel, you must use the law. And that is very true with Roman Catholics because they believe they can keep the laws. Whether they are dogmas of the Catholic Church laws or the laws of the Bible, you got to use the laws to go, you don't have a chance. You do not have any hope in and of yourself. You must abandon the ship of self. You must receive the life raft of Jesus Christ. How's my illustration working out here?
It's pretty good.
The dinghy that gets tossed to you called grace. You got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved by grace alone through faith alone. And it's only the law that brings that up. So if you've got a Roman Catholic loved one, use the law. You got a Mormon friend, use the law. Jehovah's Witness, use the law. If you've got anybody who is outside of Christ, it is going directly to the conscience by using the laws of God to help them understand the exceeding sinfulness of sin and their state without a Savior. We've always understood that. So I might do a shout out if you happen to be Roman Catholic and you're listening to this. I'm glad that you are. But I would ask you, how have you done in being as holy and perfect as God Himself? You're in trouble just like I am, and definitely like Jimmy is. You can't do it. You can't pay your fine. You can't make up for it. And even if you could be perfect from this second on, you still have a criminal rap sheet that needs to be dealt with. And the only one who is authorized to do so, it is not the Roman Catholic Church. It is not yourself. It is not works. It is not the advice of a man in a confessional booth. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Run to Him. Surrender your works. Repent. Apologize for your sins of work righteousness and all of the other laws that you've broken, and put your faith in Jesus Christ and be set free from that heavy yoke, because the yoke of Jesus is light. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for our Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start in London with the historic Globe Theater, which has now decided to go woke. I don't know if they've now decided to go woke. Maybe they've been woke for a while and they're just going woker. Either way, they've decided that Shakespeare needs a modern makeover. Apparently, the bard's words are just too spicy for today's delicate palates. They're slapping trigger warnings on classics. Heaven forbid someone intend to play about Julius Caesar and be surprised by depictions of, I don't know, Caesar being assassinated? And over in New York City, there's a councilwoman who seems to have misunderstood the phrase, take a bite out of crime. Susan Zwong allegedly decided to taste test a police officer during a protest. Now she's crying foul and Asian hate, which is rich considering she's the one who apparently treated law enforcement like a buffet. And in what can only be described as the IT version of the day the Earth stood still, a massive computer glitch grounded major airlines across the board. Turns out the blue screen of death, not just for your home PC anymore. Yeah, it's nice to know that in our high-tech and modern and advanced technological age, we can still be brought to our knees by a good old-fashioned software update. Maybe next time they'll try rebooting. Finally, it looks like Finland is giving the European Union a masterclass in border control. They've just passed a law that essentially tells migrants coming through Russia, thanks but no thanks. It's almost as if they believe a country has the right to decide who enters. Shocking. Can't believe that at all. I know. The EU, of course, is twisting itself all into a pretzel trying to respond, and I'm sure they'll get back soon with a strongly worded letter. And that has been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Proverbs is a collection of memorable sayings meant to encourage wisdom for godly living. Each proverb is to be understood on its own, and then in light of the rest of the book, and finally the whole Bible. When you desire wisdom, look to the Book of Proverbs, which reminds us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You're wretched. I'm wretched. Jimmy's really wretched. Let's be wretched together, shall we? This is Wretched Radio.
How wretched am I?
You don't know. See, that's the problem right there. The first step in getting help, Jimmy, is recognizing how wretched you actually are. Send us wretched stuff, would you? 877-282-2337. You can text away. Want to email? That's swell. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Steve. Todd, I am currently reading a book by a dead Puritan who says that if even one sin is loved in your heart, that we're not saved. How do I know if I love one single sin in my heart when I'm not at all good at introspection?
Now, I've got a couple of questions. Who's the Puritan and what's the context? I guess that's two questions, because not every Puritan is as puritanical as others might happen to be. Furthermore, the context of that question is super crucial, because if that Puritan is saying that if you have a love where you love it, you foster it, you delight in it, you serve it, you seek it, you spend time pursuing it, I would say, I probably wouldn't say you're definitely not a Christian. I would say, whoa, 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 danger, Will Robinson. We got to go figure out why there is an idol residing in your heart. But if I were asked to simply judge the sentence, can a Christian ever have a love for a sin and still be a Christian? Yeah, Now, it's not the new man. It's your carcass. It's your unredeemed, your unglorified flesh that craves those things. Those don't go away when you're a Christian. Your flesh wants fleshly things because it has not yet been glorified. You're a new man in Christ. You're a new woman in Christ. That's who you are. Your carcass has a tendency to war against it, and that is where sanctification plays itself out in a lifelong process of mortifying that sin. So I would, to remove it from the Puritan, because I don't know the context of the comment, I would say this. Christians sin. They hate it. They go to war against it. I would, leaning back toward this Puritan, say, but if there are sins that you're harboring, that you love, that you are not willing to forsake, you better start doing some examination real quick. And I would encourage you to get somebody to help you with that examination, because your heart will deceive you. But let's not be deceived in thinking that Christians never sin or even desire sin. We do. It's just not what we want. And we hate it and we mortify it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a lifelong battle. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Tim. Tough question. Todd, my wife of 24 years and I recently experienced a miscarriage after having two stillbirths previously. After the second stillbirth, she went to a pretty dark place. She spends hours every day studying the Bible. But she says now that despite being a Christian as long as I've known her, she is not sure that she's saved. She believes in the God of the Bible, but she says she doesn't trust him to save her. She spends most of her days crying and broken, and it's taken a toll on the entire family.
Yeah, I'll bet it has. Might I say I'm sorry that you're going through that and that she's apparently experiencing a dark night of the soul, which honestly, considering the circumstances, I think is understandable, isn't it? Those are traumatic events. And so I might suggest a number of, let's say, principles, because we always want to be careful about commenting on somebody's family life without knowing a gazillion details. So some principles that might help you, sir. It sounds like this is a woman who's just in a crisis right now. I wouldn't say that she's apostatized. She's struggling with believing that Jesus can save her. Those are confusions. We've got to anticipate that Christians are going to go through struggles like that. So don't think that you're dealing with a false convert. We hope the best. Now, if at any time, of course, something changes that would indicate, yikes, she was never saved, well, you'll deal with that then if that ever happens. But in the meantime, we trust. We believe somebody's profession until proven otherwise. So I would treat her as a sister. Second, I would encourage you, sir, as best you can, and that might mean involving others. You got to get into her heart. You got to understand why she is feeling this way. That means some well digging. And she might be more open to others doing that with her than you. Nevertheless, you got to figure out a way to get the information needed so that she can receive the help that she needs. Number three, that brings us to the local church. Get them involved. The women of the church, elders, you need wisdom along the way. You need to ask about specifics. You need to maybe find a man who has gone through a similar. Don't think that you're alone and this is the only time that this has ever happened to a Christian family. Find one where it has and get their wisdom. And this final piece of advice might strike you as weird because it might be the first thing that you choose to do. Get a physical checkup. I know we're a Bible program, so what am I doing saying that maybe her issue is not spiritual, but it's physical? Well, because it can be, especially after what you described. I don't know what happened in those instances, but it could be something physical. There are a number of things that can cause maladies like this. And we're still being good, strong, Bible-based Christians by recognizing there is a connection between the body and the inner man. You can't separate them. I mean, they're distinct, obviously, but they're also integrated with one another. So get it checked out physically. You might just discover, oh, That's what's causing the brain fog. Oh, that's what's causing that constant sadness, the black dog just barking and howling. Oh, it's a physical thing. So I would encourage you to do all of those things. And you're going to have to be careful in this, sir, because I would encourage you to do it simultaneously, aggressively, fully and lovingly and patiently. Because if you're not doing everything you could, like, don't stall and don't wait days to do stuff. If it's like, I think that I need to contact the pastor and do it now. Some women in the church that she really likes, and I know that they've been through something, get them involved, like, now. Get started now. Now, don't use that sort of intensity when you're talking. Okay, you need to tell me what's going on inside of your heart, honey, and make it snappy because don't do that. You want to be sensitive, thoughtful, and loving. But don't be negligent in walking alongside her, because I think sometimes we forget this. I don't know if you forget this or not. Jimmy, you can confess or not, that when it comes to our spouses, sometimes we forget there's more to this dynamic than marriage. Hmm. She's a sister. She's a sir. And I need, we've got obligations and responsibilities with one another. And those responsibilities include helping one another, counseling one another, exhorting and rebuking. And so don't forget, she's your wife. She's your sister. Do the one another's with your wife because she needs you right now. She really, really needs you. 877. Anything else, Jimmy?
No, it's just it's so sensitive of a topic. You know, you've got, like you said, be aggressive. But I think one of the things that I would say is be so careful with handling it, because a lot of times when your spouse is going through something like that, one of the things that they're thinking in their mind is, why don't you feel the same way I do?
Sure.
Why aren't you impacted the same way I am?
Yeah.
And it's so, so tricky.
You know, that dynamic, I think, happens a lot with tragedies and difficulties and prodigals.
Hmm.
Look, it's not just a male-female distinction. It's a human distinction. Some people just process it differently, react to difficulties differently. And there have been no small number of marital spats because the other spouse just wasn't in the same place, or at least not at the same moment. And so that's an area where we always need to be mindful. Don't put my feelings about a subject and impose those on my spouse. That can lead to all kinds of trouble. Yeah. And I'm sorry for what's going on in your family, sir. I sure hope you're a member of a local church. And if you're not, let that story and that dynamic encourage you to do so. It's not a threat, but your time's coming. You're going to need the local church. To be honest, if you're not a member of a local church, you already do. We need one another. This is the organization that he has endorsed, that he's created and endorsed, and he has commanded us, you got to be a part of this, and it's for our good. And you're gonna hit a wall. You're going to experience a tragedy. You are going to be persecuted. Something is going to go down in your life. In fact, you might be going through it now. Look, any church that is biblical will welcome you on day one, and they'll love on you day one. But I'm just telling you, it's better to already be in one, so you don't have to go find it. Well, I just started, so I better wait like 3 months before I bring my problems to the pastor. Become a serving member of a local church now. I don't know that a catalog big enough to contain all of the blessings and benefits that you will experience when you are a member, not a regular attender, a member of a local church. Get on it. This is Wretched Radio.
Breaking news, scientists have predicted a massive heat wave of savings at Wretched's Global Warming Sale. See what I did there? Okay, that was kind of weird. Anyway, all this week through the 21st, prices are definitely falling in the Wretched Store. Up to 60% off. Free shipping on orders over $50 because we believe in actual measurable benefits. And this sale is so hot, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego started sweating. Okay, all right, I'll stop with the bad puns. And unlike certain climate models, our sale delivers as promised. Visit wretched.org/sale before these deals are gone. Stock up now on solid biblical wisdom. That's Wretched's global warming sale at wretched.org/sale, where the only thing rising faster than alleged sea levels will be your biblical knowledge. Okay, I promise that's the last one. Wretched.org/sale.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for joining Wretched Radio today. And we want to introduce you to one of the new voices that will soon be joining this ministry. Meet Pastor Brad Bigney.
And so real joy is found when you move from trying to seize the extraordinary and you slow down to savor the ordinary.
Pastor Bigney is a certified biblical counselor. He is a pastor with a Master's of Divinity, and he's also an author. His expertise, though, is in marriage and parenting, and he provides invaluable guidance for families, and we cannot wait for Pastor Bigney to start producing content for our ministry. And that's where you come in, because your support can help us bring more voices just like Brad Bigney's to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign right now, and you can get all of the details on how you can do that at wretched.org/fellows. Get all of the details at wretched.org/fellows, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life. And he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yes?
Could you go to the closet and grab the sackcloth and ashes? Because I need to put it on. This is Wretched Radio. How can I spend so much time talking about the importance of the local church and not direct your attention to the Master's Academy International? The shame. Local churches strengthened internationally, globally, as pastors, indigenous men get trained to shepherd the sheep underneath their care. It's the Master's Academy International. Think mini seminaries all over the globe. And they train pastors who then return to their flock and download what they have learned, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you love the local church and you like to see local churches strengthened, then I would commend you to the Master's Academy International. Check it out. It's a really excellent ministry. You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor. You can put the sackcloth and ashes back. Don't need them anymore. I've made up for my own sin. That's not Christian at all. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Interesting question. Todd, I've noticed since starting university that I sometimes shake hands with women without thinking. But then I feel it's disrespectful as I view handshakes as masculine. Is it wrong to see it this way, And is my dislike for gender role blurring going too far?
Well, I would have to ask what Bible verse says that a handshake is only in the domain of masculinity. I don't think you've got that verse. Now, you would have to then ask the question, culturally, we want to be mindful of culture. Remember, the Bible is always going to win, always. So if the culture has a norm that isn't biblical, we don't conform to culture. But if the culture has a norm where the Bible doesn't speak, then we kind of just, we play within the parameters of whatever that norm is. And in our culture, men and women shaking hands, I don't think that that's unusual at all. So I would say to you, I don't think you should have an issue with shaking the hands of a woman. I can't think of a Bible. When you can't, there's probably liberty. You got anything else on the handshaking business?
No. I think you said what needed to be said.
Alrighty, 877-282-2337.
From Dustin, Todd, if church is to be done God's way, where should a Christian fall on the family integrated movement where children should not be separated from their parents during the church service?
Right. I think this is an issue that has to get worked out in the context of a local church. I don't want to make a law where there is no law, but we can take a look historically how we've treated kids when it comes to Sunday morning service. As a rule over the years, they were in the service. That's all there is to it. They didn't have all of these programs. We've really followed the educational system. We have classes, just like we do in public schools. And we brought that into the church. I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm just saying we need to understand the history of it, that this segregated model is not a tradition. It's a relatively new custom. Traditionally, families simply worshiped together. So my personal preference is that all the kids come into the service for Sunday service. I think there's so many benefits to it. Now, what you do prior to with Sunday school, et cetera, I think there's just tons of liberty in that regard. And regarding the issue then of integrated church, we're keeping Sunday school separate from the church service. I would encourage it. We do encourage it at Alpharetta Bible Church. Bring the kids. We love having kids in. And let me just do a shout out. If you're in a Bible teaching church, I am so grateful that you're concerned that your child might be a distraction. Thank you for being thoughtful. Now, let me return the favor. We want your kids in church. Want them there. And we get it. They're going to squawk. And if a kid lets out a, so be it. Now, if a kid has a breakdown as a courtesy, you go out of the service. You go to the cry room. Come back if you can. We want to expose the kids to the word. Furthermore, there's so many benefits to this. They learn to sit still. Furthermore, they need to get under control. It forces parents who are thoughtful to make sure, hey, these kids can't be squawking, they can't be fit, they're not going to be running around during the sermon. And it's like your authority then gets imposed on your child. That's a good thing. So the benefits to them being integrated into the church service are manifold. Would I, however, say to a church, you're sinning if you've got a kids thing? I don't think we can do that. I think we got to make sure that unless we've got clear biblical teaching, we can say, this is my preference, this is our encouragement, this is where our church stands, but you can't make a law where there is no law. Jimmy, you okay with all of that?
I am.
I love having the kids in the church.
I do too.
I really do. Look, even when I'm preaching and I hear a kid crying, it just actually brings joy to my heart. It's like, good, there's a mom and a dad. They're exposing their kid to God's word. Well done, mom and dad. Well done. And here's another benefit, by the way, of bringing your kids into the church. You force the rest of us to produce more fruit. Patience, lovingness, not casting the stink eye. Turning your head every time you hear something go clatter. You help us to grow. The benefits of integrating kids, massive. But it's not a law, in my opinion, which is always right, because I'm a talk show host. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from anonymous young person. Todd, I'm employed at a library, and I'm in charge of the young adult section.
I know what's coming here.
Well, I have found that it opens doors to speak about what I believe. As a Christian, I do struggle with what to do about some of the books in the collection. Yeah. Many on the shelves are LGBTQ related, and I'm tasked with promoting them.
Ah.
While I don't personally recommend to purchase books if they're LGBTQ, the ones we already have, I do have to put on display sometimes.
Yeah.
How is a Christian to handle this?
Oh, man, Sela. I think there's one word that can guide you. It's probably not going to be perfect, but I think the most helpful word that can help all of us answer the question, am I sinning in my job? I think the key word is participation. Quick, name a business, name an organization that does not have sin involved. You're not going to find one. So you're going to work at a company where there is sin. We need to understand that, and it is not a sin necessarily to work in a company that does sinful things. Now, having said that, do I think that you can work at a company that produces overtly sinful things? No. Can you? You work in a magazine business. It's one thing to promote Time, which is Time. And a pornographic magazine, you can't do that. You could work at Time. You can't work at the porn shop because you're producing something that is overtly sinful. I think the word that guides us through all of this, however, is, okay, at my company, it's amoral in that they're not producing something that is immoral, but they do things that are immoral. How do I navigate that? Participation. Participate. Are you participating in the simple? You are working at the store, the hardware store, and somebody comes in and buys a screwdriver, which they use then to go harm somebody. Did you participate in that sin? No, you didn't. You were doing your job. You sold somebody a screwdriver, and they used it nefariously. Your conscience should be clear. You did not participate in sin. Let's take it into the corporate realm. You work at an accountant. You're in sales, and you sell the amoral widget. And with the profits the organization gives to a sinful organization, are you participating in their sin? I don't believe you are. That sin is on them. You're doing your job to provide a service or a good for God's children. That is not sinful as long as the thing you're producing is not sinful in and of itself. What they do with it is on them. You're not participating. Let's go into the library, shall we? Are you able to work at a library where there are sinful books? I believe you can, because you didn't write the books. You're not promoting the books. You're not reading the books. You're not telling somebody they should get the books. I think you can work at the library, but that isn't probably where the job description ends. Your job is to put the books back on the shelves. And there it is, the LGBTQ book. Look, I think you're starting to get closer. And I think different Christians are different take. I think some are going to say, I can't do that because I feel like I am doing the thing because I know this is a sinful thing that will be used sinfully. I can't do it. What about doing an end cap display and having to put them on? Oh, what about checking them out? Now it's a sin. It's a sinful thing. See, then my sense of it is you're increasing your participation in the promotion of sin. I mean, it's one thing to sell a screwdriver that somebody uses for a wicked act. It's another thing to sell something that's wicked or to promote something or to assist and enable something that's wicked. So I think the principle that I would encourage this young person to consider is participation. And if you believe that you're participating in the sin, you must ask your boss to be excused from doing that task. And that leads me to, I think, the thought that should be provoked in all of us as we hear this question from this young person. We all better get used to the idea of losing our jobs. Jesus told us this will happen. Anybody who lives godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You're going to be hated. You're going to be rejected. We better get used to it, to lose kin and kindred and jobs and homes and estates. It's time for us to develop more of a first century Christian mindset than our 20th century Christian mindset, unfortunately. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.